This time we're going to have our scripture lesson, and it's found in the book of Acts. We've been going through this book other than last week when we had a Mother's Day message, but we're back in the book of Acts, chapter 15. Chapter 15, verses 30 through 35. I love to hear those pages for those that want to follow with. Shall we stand as I read this morning? Acts chapter 15, verse 30. And when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle or the letter, which when they had read, they rejoiced for their comfort or consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. May God bless the reading of His word this morning. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, as we come to share Your word this morning, how we pray that You would anoint. Father, You know in ourselves we have nothing. But Father, we pray Your Holy Spirit would take this word and speak to us, and that we might feed this morning upon Your word. Give us understanding. We give You the praise and the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I read verses 30 through 35, which actually will be referring back to the beginning of the chapter. I would like to suggest how important this chapter is to our lives. Many times we take the Bible for granted. We take God's speaking for granted and God's working for granted. But we have received His Word. It has been established. And the title this morning of my message is A Sure Foundation. In the establishment of God's Word, there have many times been different viewpoints. Frequently, groups of men have come together, as they do this morning in this Jerusalem council, to sort out the truth of God's Word. There's nothing more exciting than to speak with Christian brethren about the Word of God. Nothing more exciting as we examine to see truth. Sometimes we take it for granted. My heart aches because I tend to believe that a majority of people that go under the title of Christian cannot tell you why they believe what they believe except somebody has spoken it. And I believe it's so important to be able to go back to the Word and sort out why we believe it. Now, truly, God has put pastors and teachers in pulpits and places to give forth His Word, and we should be truthful in taking God's Word and handling it wisely. But I would also like to encourage people like the Bereans to go back and search the Word. If when you've heard something that doesn't seem to make sense, that seems to be out of sorts, that seems to be a little different than what God's Word is, I would just pray that we would come back and search it out to see what God has to say. We find that there was a little difference of opinion at this particular time. And in verse 1, there were certain men that came down from Judea, and they taught their brethren, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now this is major, major, major. I don't know if people realize the purity of what it means to be able to trust Christ for the completed work at Calvary. I don't know if we understand what it means that we are saved by grace through faith, and that's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so when they came down came down from Judea and began to teach, except you be circumcised, you cannot be saved. This was adding something to God's word. We know in the book of Revelation, in the last chapter, it says, do not add, do not take away from the word of God, from the words of this book. I believe that refers to the whole Bible. You may differ with me on that. But in either case, we are not to add, we are not to take away. God's word is precious. I pray you value it. I had a brother come over and we spent some time together and he came with his Bible and I hadn't told him to. And I just thrilled because have Bible will travel, and that's the way I like to go too. You know, when you get with other Christians, there's nothing more enjoyable than to find out about how they come to know the Lord, where a little bit of their life, and discuss the Word of God. This is a practical way of growing in Christ. I hope you realize this. If you never mention Jesus during the week, there's very little growth that's going to take place in your life. I'll guarantee that. But it's so beautiful to be able to have friends where you can discuss the things in the Word of God. We find that there was no small dissension as they got together. This began to be a big problem. And in verse 2 it says, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension in disputing with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. I just love when somebody thinks enough about the Word of God just to even give me a ring and say, Dave, I read this in the Bible. What does this mean? We had just the most wonderful question in Sunday school this morning by a young man. And those who were there, I hope you caught the importance of that question. He asked about Christians continuing in sin is what the ultimate thing was, and then will God cast them out at the last? I enjoyed that question. Wish I would have had another hour. And I wish more people would ask questions, because I don't think he's the only one with questions. I think many times people have questions and you feel, I should know this, I don't dare ask. It's rather embarrassing. Well, I pray that as we read God's Word, that we take it to heart as such a valuable resource that we have, that God has given us, that we will want to understand it fully all the way, not adding to it or taking away from it, but reading it as it is. And we find that they sent the group to Jerusalem. And in verse 4, we're going rather rapidly because I want to dwell later on some of the other verses. They were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. Now, it was important to give a good explanation of what was happening. This was foundational. Let me say again, this has to do with salvation. Can you imagine if they would have been mixed up at the beginning here, what our Bible would be like? We could be sincere and yet sincerely wrong. Praise God, He allowed this to take place. I think it was very important that this take place, and we'll see when we finish this that sometimes differences of opinion work out to help us come to the place where we should be. And we'll find that God uses us at times so we get a clear understanding of His Word. There were a few more things that took place here. Now as we go down in our down in my Bible to verse 7, I'd like to start with, they continued to dispute even when they got to Jerusalem. There was in 7a, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose. This was a big question. You say, oh, why worry about it that much? Can you see this is basic, foundational truth that all of us stand upon now? And how important it was that these men took that time and effort and declared to each other what they felt, took it to Jerusalem. And of course, ultimately, God is going to work. And now here we see the work of God in 7b. And this is what I want to focus on a little bit. Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as He did to us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Let's go back to chapter 10 for those who have your Bibles and look at what Peter said. Was this trustworthy? Was this trustworthy? How do we accept this? Let's just look at verse 44 through 47. Now Peter preaches to the Gentiles. If you remember, Cornelius had sent for Peter. And Cornelius was a godly man. And he had sent for Peter. And right before the men came that he sent his servants and so forth to Peter, the Lord gave Peter a dream or a vision. And he saw a white sheet coming down from heaven, and he was commanded to eat. And the Lord spoke to him when Peter said, No, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the Lord said, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Three times. Now this was a transitional period. And so it was not unusual that Peter be a little bit confused about what God was doing. And he pondered these things, and about the time he was pondering them, there were men at the door. And they had sent for him to come. And so Peter, taking some others with him, that's an important item to remember, went to see Cornelius. And Cornelius said, Well, I just had this vision that I was to call for one Simon Peter. And so I did. Now tell us what God has. And Peter began to preach Jesus. Now, I went over and I read this. In verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And he goes on to preach Jesus of Nazareth. And as he's preaching, these people are listening. Now, Peter doesn't give an altar call. He doesn't even have a prayer for them to pray. He's preaching Jesus. And they believed. And in verse 44, while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word, the same as he had in the early church in Acts 2. You see, the wind blows where it will. We don't know where it comes from, where it goes to. So is everyone who is born by the Spirit of God. God has amazing ways of working, yet it's through His Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as we hear the Word of God and believe, God knows the hearts, doesn't He? God knows the hearts. It's not a form that has to be followed. It's the trusting in Jesus. We find that there were witnesses. Look at verses 7 and 8 and 23. Let's go to 7 and 8 of chapter 10. When the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, and them that waited on him continually, and he declared everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. So here we have some witnesses that were going to talk to Simon Peter. Verses 22 and 23. And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all nation of Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for you into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brother from Joppa accompanied them. Okay, now we've got witnesses on both sides. You see, if it would have been only Peter, maybe he just ate too much. But see, this is God's work, and God's work is going to be verified when it's God's work. And then, verse 45, and they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished. That means the Jewish people that had come with Peter, they were astonished, as many as came with Peter. You see, these witnesses were watching God work. That is very important for our sake, because the gospel we have was not infiltrated by another gospel way back at the beginning. The Lord always starts His work pure. I have a passion today before Christ comes again that the purity of the gospel is being diminished, is being compromised, that our definition of salvation doesn't seem to be what it used to be not too many years ago. Somewhat, if they're good people. And we emphasize God as a loving God. But God is also a just God. I think of God's way of working. Do you remember when the priesthood was being started and we had two men who offered strange fire, Nadab and Abihu, and they were struck dead? I don't believe that happened every time after that when somebody misstepped. But God wanted purity in the priesthood. I believe also in the church. Do you remember the early church? How they were with one accord? And Ananias and Sapphira came in. And they lied to the Holy Spirit. They pretended something that wasn't true. And they were both struck down by God. You If he did that today, I wonder how large your church would be, don't you? But I believe he did that to show that it was his desire to keep the church pure. We know how he worked with his own people Israel, don't we? And we know that he'd raise up judges. And as soon as a judge had died and passed away, very shortly the people would begin to worship other gods and to go away. In the book of Thessalonians, the second chapter, it talks about the day of the Lord. And it says, that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed. You see, before Christ comes, because when he comes and gathers out his own immediately, according to Luke 17, Jesus said it's going to be like Sodom and it's going to be like Noah, only he reverses it, like Noah and like Sodom. They were wicked. The unbelieving were just going about their daily task, marrying and giving in marriage and so forth, until the day that they entered the ark. I believe that with all my heart. And so when Christ comes from his own and takes his own out, his wrath will be poured out upon those that are left. The Bible teaches that very clearly. And he won't do that until the iniquity is full. God has always worked that way. We go back in Deuteronomy. You know very well God told his Israelites, I'm not allowing you to go into Canaan because of your righteousness, but because of their iniquity. Their iniquity was full. God is a just God. God is a just God. The times are going to get pretty tough. And I believe that it's important for his people to stand faithful. It's important for them to have pure doctrine. And that's what this was all about, that Jesus was establishing, or the Lord was establishing at this time through Paul. Paul and Barnabas to begin with. Peter went over this in his mind as he gets up. Back in Acts 15 now. He said, this happened. I know this was of God. It's verified. There's witnesses. You know, God still works today in the same way. He puts upon our heart these things. There are times that I've cried unto the Lord for understanding of Scripture. Sometimes it takes a long time, but he always brings the answers many times early in the morning. As I'm in prayer, I've shared frequently about when I first tried to preach from Hebrews. And I got part way and I couldn't continue because I was distressed. And I went in by my bed, sometimes 5-6 hours a day. Well, at least 5-6 hours a day I'd come out and eat, and I'd go back in with my Strong's and my Bible in prayer. After 2 weeks, I received what the Lord says will happen, and the peace of God which passeth all. I didn't have all the answers, but the peace of God which passeth all understanding will keep your and guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Several years later, I preached through Hebrews, still not having all the answers, but finding that God is beginning to open that book a lot more clearly to me than he ever has. Do I have all the answers? No. But praise God, it's a constant learning, isn't it? As we read his word, and as he opens up that which we are to know, it's there for us. And when I prayed When God called me into the ministry, I said, Lord, I want to preach all Your Word. That has been sometimes a trial. Because there is some of the Word you don't like to preach. But the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. You read that verse? There's some of that that's difficult to preach because people don't want to hear it. But it's God's Word. We find that there were several things that were so important. Back in chapter 15 of Acts now. First of all, after the contention and the disputing, Peter gets up and he begins to speak. And he said, this is what happened to me. God worked. He was describing what happened. And he says in 10:11, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of His disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? And he gave such a beautiful testimony. He said, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice there, we believe. There's the faith, isn't it? Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's grace. We shall be saved, even as they. Nothing more added. He's got it there. That's the purity of salvation. And all the multitude kept silence in verse 12, gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. They were preaching this message. God had blessed them, authenticating that what they were doing was by the power of God. And so the elders did not only send Paul and Barnabas back to say, yeah, we were right. They decided to send some of the leaders, Judas and Silas, back with them. And not only that, they wrote a letter to confirm, so it's absolutely sure of what was decided. Now, what kind of men were these? Verse 25, it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Paul and Barnabas and Paul. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Men who have risked their lives. Oh, you don't do that lightly. This had to be real. They were warriors. They knew how to fight the fight of faith. They were like Paul who said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. These were men that could be trusted. Notice in verse 25, they were one accord. Well, most of us believe this is the way, but we've got these over here that weren't quite sure. No, they were of one accord. God had given them the oneness in the decision that they made. This oneness is not one that's negotiated. This is a oneness by the power and the Holy Spirit of God. We find that they also sent a letter. Now, these men could not change the word. It was in writing. I hope you realize the purity of the doctrine of salvation. We find that the final doctrine could be put so concisely and clearly by Paul. By grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, but I've been told James says something different. No, James says faith works, doesn't he? I'll show you my faith by my works. There are two sets of works. One that you don't go along with at all. Our works do not add to our salvation. That's what this whole council was about. The works do not add to our salvation. The other is, there are works because of our salvation. Ephesians 2:10, the next verse in line says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Those good works, I believe, are the race that is set before us that the writer of Hebrews says. Or, all Scripture is given to us by the inspiration of God and is profitable, and it gives four things, that the man of God might be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Or looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity, purifying unto Himself a peculiar people, sometimes interpreted special. I think from the world's point of view, peculiar is more accurate. Zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. When life comes in, there has to be an outworking. And that's why Paul says, work out your salvation. Work it out, not for it. Work it out with fear and trembling, for it's God who worketh in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Isn't it wonderful to serve a living God? Isn't it wonderful to have His Spirit bear witness with our spirit, to be able to be one of Jesus' sheep who hear His voice, and He knows us, and we follow Him, and He gives unto us eternal life, and we shall never perish? Isn't it wonderful to have that assurance? I pray each one are following Jesus. I pray we're able to hear His voice. I pray we take time to listen to His voice during the week. Once again, I encourage everybody, take time to meet with the Lord in the morning. Whether you know it or not, you need Him during the rest of the day. You need Him. I need Him. I cannot get along without Him. I'd be so discouraged, I'd run off in a minute if it wasn't the fulfillment and the power of Christ keeping me. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And then James and Paul agree. What about Jesus? Well, there's many cases, but I'd like to just name one that you probably wouldn't think of what Jesus is saying. The people come to Him and they say, what should we do that we might work the works of God? Think of that. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? This is found in John 6. Don't quite remember the verse. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus replies, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He has sent. Listen carefully. I love the King James way of saying this. This is the work of God. Do you see grace there? Or do you just see it? That's what we do. Think about it. This is the work of God. He's teaching grace there, isn't He? That ye believe, there's faith, on Him who He has sent. And you know, there's no conjunction after that. There's no pluses in addition. There's no works. No communion, no baptism, no confirmation, no... Not that they might not be good. This is the work of God. That's grace. That ye believe on Him whom He has sent. There's faith. Isn't our Bible wonderful? Isn't it good to know that God has established His Word that's true? Jesus prayed, "Sanctify them with Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." It's through the Word of God we must always be careful to relish it. Study, be diligent to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the Word of truth. This is what we want to do today and we want to see done. Oh, may I challenge you to take time in the Word daily and in prayer. Shall we stand as we bow our heads in a word of prayer and are dismissed? Our Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank Thee for this time together. How we thank You for the truthfulness of Your Word. How we thank You for these times that You work to establish the truthfulness of Your Word. There is no doubt on this basic doctrine of salvation. And we can be assured that it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Oh, Father, thank You. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with each one of us, both now and forever.